turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. We come to the part of the covenant that many have difficulty with. I shouldn't say many, some. Which states, we also engage to walk circumspectly in the world. And then, and then the covenant mentions seven things after that. To walk circumspectly in the world is the foundation, and that's what we'll spend our time upon this evening and probably next week as well. But again, then there's seven things after that. To be just in our dealings is one. Faithful in our engagements is two. Exemplary in our deportment, which would be three. To avoid all tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger, which would be four. Five, we lump all these together. To abstain from the sale of, use of, destructive drugs, intoxicating drinks as a beverage. Number six, to shun pornography. Number seven, to be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior. Again, I believe the foundation of all of that is to walk circumspectly in the world. But this part of the covenant deals with our personal testimony of godliness in the world, which is our responsibility, and it is a huge responsibility, and it is a very, very serious matter. We all have a testimony, good or bad, before everyone who knows us. A church, of course, has a testimony as well. And a church's testimony, of course, is intertwined with the testimony of its members. Cannot be any other way. You cannot separate the two. So the church's testimony is dependent upon the individual member's testimony. Because here's the way people think. They see you do something that is a bad testimony, and their logic is everybody in that church is like that. That's their logic. They've never been here. But they see bad behavior from one, and, well, they're a member of Home Baptist Church. You know, they're all like that. Every one of them is like that. And, therefore, that testimony of that church is ruined in that person's eyes because of the act of one individual. So, again, it's a very serious matter, and the testimony and the and testimony and influence go hand in hand. You're not going to have an influence for good if you do not have a good testimony. The two go hand in hand. It's also true of a church. If a church is to have a testimony and influence, and again, its influence depends upon its testimony, and its testimony and influence depends upon the testimony and influence of the individual members. So this part of the covenant has to do with our overall attitude, our overall conduct in the world. The first thing we want to notice again, and it's the foundation, is we pledge to walk circumspectly in the world. This is taught all through the Word of God. We are to walk circumspectly. Now notice in Ephesians chapter 5, we'll read verses 15 through verse 17. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, because the days are evil, be ye not unwise or foolish, as it was stated in verse 15, but understanding, that is, be wise, and the way we're wise is to understand what the will of the Lord is. So the pledge to walk circumspectly in the world is taught here in Ephesians chapter 5. Notice verse 15, that very first word, see. See. That simply conveys the idea of make certain. Make certain that you walk circumspectly. The word see means to see to it. See to it that you walk circumspectly. It means be mindful. Be mindful. Always be considering that you are to walk circumspectly. The next word, or few words, the fourth word, see then that ye, and again there's that word ye. It's personal. It's individual. Each individual is to see to it that they are to walk circumspectly. That is, it is their responsibility. It is their duty. The word walk, of course, has reference to the whole tenor of our Christian life. It has reference to the whole conduct of our Christian life. But then the most important word here is that word circumspectly. See to it that you personally conduct your life in a circumspect manner in the world. And the word circumspectly means cautious. It means to be careful. So we are to make sure, we are to see to it that we are cautious. We are cautious. Now, when a person goes and breaks the things that follow what we read here in the covenant, they're dishonest, they lie, they cheat, they steal, they drink, they use drugs. Who in their right mind can possibly believe that that's being circumspect, that that's being careful? Again, that's why I believe this is the foundation of what follows here in the covenant. To be cautious, to be careful. The word circumspect also conveys the idea of being on guard. Would always be on guard. Would always be watchful. Would always be alert. We're to be attentive. We're to be heedful, which goes along with being attentive. We're to give vigilance. But the word circumspectly also conveys the idea of accuracy. We are to be very cautious. We are to be very careful. Why? Because our testimony is linked to the testimony of the church of which we're a member. Our influence is linked to the influence of the church of which we are a member. Therefore, be careful. But again, the word also conveys the idea of accuracy. We want to be accurate in our conduct. And the only way you can be accurate is to be in line with the Word of God. Again, no one in their right mind can say that to lie, cheat, steal, use drugs, use alcohol is being accurate. It's the furthest thing from being accurate. So again, it all goes back to walk circumspectly. Has to do with diligence. Now, as you read on here in Ephesians chapter 5, we see that it is implied that if we do not walk circumspectly, that we're foolish and unwise. In verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. Not as fools. In other words, if we're not cautious, if we're not careful, if we're not on guard, if we're not watchful, if we're not accurate, we're living as fools. And he goes on to say, but as wise. In other words, to walk circumspectly is wise. To walk in a careless manner is very unwise. It's foolish. It's to be a fool. Then he goes on in verse 16. He says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. This is why we need to be cautious, because the days are evil. And then in verse 17, wherefore, because the days are evil, be ye not unwise. Now in the context, in the strict context of the verses that we've read, verses 15 through 17, the word unwise goes back to fools in verse 15. So, who is it that is the fool? The one who does not walk circumspectly. Who is it that is unwise? The one who does not walk circumspectly. Now, it is wise to walk circumspectly. We see that in verse 15. And here's what this wisdom is, verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but on the other hand, that is, instead of being unwise by not using caution in the way you live, and to live your life recklessly is to live as a fool. It's to live as a fool. It is the opposite of walking circumspectly, which is wisdom. So he goes on, he says, but on the other hand, instead of being unwise, understanding what the will of the Lord is. That's wisdom. The only way a person can possibly be wise is to know what the will of God is. Everything else is foolish. Anything contrary to the will of God is foolishness. So we have to understand what the will of God is. Who is it that understands what the will of God is? Or what is the result of understanding what the will of God is? We walk circumspectly. We walk carefully. Now, we also see the necessity for such a walk because the days are evil. Now, it is taught in the church covenant, again, which is supported by spiritual principles in the Word of God. We see this is taught in the covenant. Instead of saying, we engage to walk circumspectly because the days are evil, the church covenant simply reads, we engage to walk circumspectly in the world. Because of the world in which we live, you had better be careful. We had better be careful. People who do not walk cautiously is because they do not realize the danger. The danger can be all around them. They are oblivious to it. They are ignorant. They are not aware of the danger. Therefore, they do not exercise caution. Now, you and I, as children of God, we are to conduct ourselves circumspectly in the world. Therefore, we have to have some understanding of what the world is like. Now, I'm sure there isn't anyone here who would say, who would dare think that the world is a better place today than it was 5 years ago or 10 years ago. The world gets worse all the time. Well, if that's true, then it seems to me that we ought to be more circumspect than we've ever been. If the world's worse than it's ever been, that means the world's more dangerous. That means the place in which we live is more dangerous than it has been in the past. And if it's more dangerous, does it not make sense that we are to be more cautious? But it seems to me that more and more of God's people are becoming more and more careless instead of more and more cautious. So we promise that we will walk cautiously because we live in this world. Because we live in a world that is evil, we have to exercise caution. The world has a society. The world has a system. The world has a way of life. It is condemned throughout the Word of God. When God condemns the world, He's not condemning planet Earth. He's condemning a society, a system, a way of life. When He says, love not the world, He's not talking about the planet. Again, He's talking about a society. He's talking about a system. He's talking about a way of life. And that way of life, the world's way of life, is condemned all through the Word of God. The Word of God does not have one positive thing to say about the way of life of this world. Not one. And because we live in the midst of this, we are to be cautious. Now, the world is made up of a system of ideas. And they're anti-God. They're ungodly. The world is made up of a system of activities, which goes along with its ideas, which is strictly humanistic. The world is made up of a people and has a whole, the people are in active rebellion against God. It's what Romans 8 teaches and several other passages of Scripture as well. So we live in a world that its ideas are anti-God. Its ideas are unspiritual. So we had better be careful that we do not adapt the world's ideas. And this has happened. We've seen this through the years happen to our churches. We have adapted the world's ideas. Perhaps not. As Baptists, we think, well, as long as we haven't brought the world's ideas into our worship services, we're fine. Well, that's a good thing that we do not bring the world's ideas into our worship services, but many have brought them into their homes. They've integrated them into their lives, and their lives and their homes and everything about them is filled with the world's ideas. And the result, of course, we're seeing today. So we live in this world in the midst of ideas that are just utter foolishness. We live in a world that's activities are ungodly and in the midst of a people that is ungodly. Therefore, God's people must be cautious, must be circumspect. Now, the world has a system, is under the dominion of Satan. That does not take away from the sovereignty of God one iota. It's all part of God's plan. But the world as a system is under the dominion of Satan. Jesus said that the devil, Satan, is the prince of this world. That is, he's the ruler of the world. Doesn't mean that he is over God in any way. Again, it's part of God's plan. He is the ruler of the world. What does that mean? That means that the devil regulates the policies of the world. So you better be careful in adapting the world's policies. Because don't you see who's behind the world's policies? So we have to be very, very cautious. The world as a system is the very embodiment of Satan. It is the very embodiment of the spirit of Satan. It bears his image. It bears the image of the devil. Notice in Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians 2 and verse 2. Now in verse in verse 2, wherein, talking about before we were saved, in times past, ye walked according to the course of this world. That's true of the unsaved sinner. We walked according to the prince, or according to the course of this world. Now, that's pretty serious. May not seem so just reading it to that point, but that's very serious. Because we have to consider who's running the course of this world. Well, and he tells us that. According, or in accord with, in agreement with, the prince of the power of the air. The lost sinner walks in accord with the prince of the power of the air. That's pretty serious. That's something that a lot of folks don't want to think about. But lost sinners are walking according to the prince of the power of the air. I don't care how nice they are. I don't care how friendly they are. Lost sinners walk according to the prince of the power of the air. Don't ever, ever forget that. And therefore, we have to be cautious. But we tend to forget that. And when we forget that, we let down our guard. We're not as cautious, we're not as careful as we ought to be. Then notice what he says. The Spirit, talking about the spirit of the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan. The Spirit that now worketh. That means the spirit of the power of the air is active. And then notice in, that is the devil, his spirit is active in the children of disobedience. That's true of all your lost family. There are no exceptions here. This is true of all lost sinners. Don't get too comfortable around lost sinners. Because when you do, you cease to walk circumspectly. And we open ourselves up to be a bad testimony. So, the world is under the dominion of Satan. It's the very embodiment of Satan, bearing his image. Considered morally, it is synonymous with the kingdom of Satan. Now, on earth, there is a kingdom of God. There is a kingdom of Satan. The Bible teaches that. A kingdom must have a king. Kingdom of God, God is the king. Kingdom of Satan, Satan is the king. A kingdom must also have subjects. Whoever lives in the kingdom of God is a subject. Whoever lives in the kingdom of Satan are the subjects of the king. Again, that's pretty serious. To be a subject of Satan is pretty serious business. But I believe that's the condition of the kingdom of Satan. The kingdom of Satan is the sphere of rebellion against God. Therefore, we have to be circumspect in this world. This world we live in is the sphere of rebellion against God. Therefore, be careful. The more we're aware of these things, the more careful we're going to be. We live in a world where Satan walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, if there was a ferocious lion on the loose on your block, you'd be careful. You'd go out at night and you'd be alert. You'd be watching. You wouldn't be careless, you'd be a fool. Well, there's a lion walking about, seeking whom he may destroy. The more we're aware of that, the more careful we will be. We cannot afford to be careless as God's people. Our churches cannot afford to be careless. And today we ought to be more cautious than we've ever been. And people are going to think you're nuts. They're going to think you've lost your mind to be so careful. But if we realize the world in which we live, and we have a responsibility to be circumspect. So we engage to walk circumspectly in the world. Now, Christ, over and over again, warned against the world. Notice in the book of John, chapter 1, and verse 10. John chapter 1, verse 10. He, that is Jesus, was in the world. The world that he was in was made by him. And the world knew him not. And the world knew him not. The very one who made the world came down from heaven and dwelt in the world, and the world knew him not. Now, I don't care how educated and how intelligent man thinks he is today. They still do not know him. They still do not know him. They not only do not know him, they do not want to know him. They despise him. So we are in a world that does not know God. In other words, we are in a world that is ignorant of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we need to be circumspect. In the book of John, chapter 7, and verse 7. Again, Jesus doing the speaking. He says, "The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth." Nothing's changed. The world still hates Jesus Christ. That is why the religious world tries to create a God, a Christ that is more likable, more acceptable to the world. And the world, to a degree, will grab on and gravitate to that God that the religious world has created, to a degree. But you preach Jesus Christ as he's revealed in the Word of God. You preach God as he's revealed in the Word of God, and the world, even your loved ones, hate that Christ. They hate that God. That's the nature of a lost sinner. That was our nature, for the Lord saved our soul. So we're in the midst of a people that hates Christ. You talk to a lost sinner and they'll tell you, "I love God." And I will say, "I'm sorry, I don't believe that's so. I don't believe you do. I believe you love the God that you've created in your mind. The God that you've imagined. You love him. But let me show you the God of the Bible." They don't love that God. This world still hates Jesus Christ. Therefore, we need to be careful. We need to be cautious. In Matthew 13 and 22, he said, "The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of its riches choke the word." And the world today still seeks to get a stranglehold on the things of God. And therefore, we need to be careful. The world seeks to get a stranglehold upon each and every one of us as individuals. And so we'd better be cautious. And the word is, the world is, notice in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus again doing the speaking. Matthew 18 and verse 7. He says, "Woe unto the world because of offenses. And the world is still even more so than ever before. A place that is filled with that which is offensive to God. And we had better be careful that we do not adapt, that we do not integrate anything in our lives that is offensive to God. We need to be less concerned about offending our loved ones and be more concerned about offending God. We live in a world that is offensive to God. The ways of the world are offensive to God. The ideas of the world are offensive to God. The philosophies of the world, the education of the world, it's all offensive to God. Therefore, it ought to offend us as His people. And if it doesn't, it's because we've adapted that which is offensive to God into our lives, where it no longer offends us. So we have to be careful. We have to be cautious. New Testament writers warned against the world. Paul said in Galatians 1 and verse 4 that Christ gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world. This world presently is evil. It is evil. That is, it is wicked. It is vile. And that which is evil offends God. And therefore, we need to be extra cautious. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Be careful. Be careful that you do not put too much weight, that you do not put too much emphasis upon the wisdom of this world, because it's foolishness with God. It's contrary to God's word. So we have to be careful. Titus 2, verse 12, book of Titus. Chapter 2 and verse 12. Talking about the grace of God. It teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, and this world is filled with both of them, ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, which hates God, which is offensive to God and which finds God offensive and is evil, we as God's people can live soberly, righteously, and godly in such a place as this. But in order to do so, we have to exercise caution. We have to be careful. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, and we'll read verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, that's not talking about air pollution, spiritual pollution, spiritual filth, we're surrounded by it. Therefore, we need to be cautious. Filth is dangerous. Filth is where disease lodges, in filth. And we live in a filthy world. There are a lot of diseases that God's people can pick up from the pollutions of the world. Therefore, we had better be cautious. We better be cautious what we touch. We better be cautious what we see. We better be cautious what we hear. Because it's all polluting. It'll pollute us spiritually. So we have to be cautious. We have to be circumspect. Can a person be too careful? I don't think so. I don't know of anybody that's in danger of being too careful. First of all, I don't believe you can be too careful. But even if you could, I don't know of anybody in danger of it. We need to be more careful than than we've ever been. Notice in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Now, this isn't talking about the Antichrist that'll be ruling the earth during the tribulation period. It's talking about the spirit of Antichrist, against Christ. Anti meaning against. So Antichrist is against Christ or opposed to Christ. The whole world has the spirit of Antichrist. It is opposed to Christ. He goes on, and this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world, the spirit of Antichrist. The Antichrist has not set up his reign yet. He's getting ready to. But the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. So you better be careful. You better be extra, extra cautious. Because the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. Then notice in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world is wicked. The more we realize the truth of what God's Word says about the world, as a system, as a way of life, as a philosophy, the more careful we will be. The world is still an evil place. You see, man today, the humanists believe that man is getting better. He's getting better all the time. He's getting smarter all the time. Man's not getting smarter. He's getting dumber by the day. But I'm not even going to go there. But we see that the world is an evil place. The world is a place of wickedness. It is a place of foolishness. It is a place of ungodliness. It is a place of spiritual pollution. It has the very spirit of Antichrist, and therefore God's people are to walk circumspectly. We're to be careful how we conduct ourselves. We're to be careful how we do business. We're to be careful who we do business with. We're to be careful in every aspect of our lives. Every aspect we are to be careful. And I believe this is one of our major problems today in our churches, is that God's people are not careful. They are careless. And they bring things into the church that you wouldn't have even imagined years ago. They have things in their homes that you wouldn't have even imagined years ago. They become... The more we integrate these things into our lives, the less careful, the less cautious we become. And the less cautious we become, the more we become like the world. And the more we become like the world, you begin to lose your testimony and you begin to lose your influence. And the people today who say, well, we've got to become like them in order so we can win them. You show me that in Scripture. That is entirely against the Word of God. You want to win them, you have to have an influence. And you've got to live above them to have that influence. I wasn't that bright when I was lost, but if I was at a drinking party and somebody witnessed to me, I'd say, you're a fool. You have no business telling me. They had no influence whatsoever. Now, somebody else who wasn't doing the same thing, I might not like what they were saying. But they did have some influence because they weren't living the same way that I was living. So don't ever think that's just the devil's lie that people have bought into. Well, if I drink with them and carouse with them and do drugs with them, then I'll tell them about the Lord. First of all, you're not going to tell them about the Lord. That's not your intention. Because if you're serious about the Lord, you wouldn't be doing those things. You'd be more concerned about being careful, about being cautious. So we as God's people, and especially members of a New Testament Baptist church, we have a responsibility to exercise great caution in the way that we conduct our lives. And this is taught throughout the Word of God, and we'll look at that more next week. This time, Brother Mark.